Oh. Well, good morning. There are some people who would watch cartoons all day, aren't there, Ruth? Good morning. Well, I enjoyed the singing and this cartoon about Esther this morning. All week we've had a terrific week, and on Friday there was the most incredible thunderstorm, wasn't there? The most amazing thunderstorm. And someone on Friday night sent me a little story about thunderstorms. And I thought I'd share it with you this morning. It's about a little girl and her view of thunderstorms. I think I'll maybe use one of the other mics. Thanks. There was a little girl who walked to and from school every day. And though the weather that morning was questionable and the clouds were forming, she made her daily trek to school, and as the afternoon progressed, the winds whipped up along with the lightning and the thunder. And the little girl's mum felt so concerned for her daughter that she'd be frightened as she walked home from school that she sent off to fetch her. She also was frightened that the electrical storm might harm her child. So she got into her car and she quickly drove along the route to her child's school. And as she did, she saw her little girl walking along. And at each flash of lightning, the child would stop and look up and smile. And more lightning followed quickly. And with each flash of lightning, the little girl would stop and look up and smile. And when her mum drew up in the car alongside her, she lowered down the window and she called out, "What are you doing?" And the little girl answered, "I'm trying to look pretty because God keeps taking my picture." And the person who sent me that added, "May God bless you today and every day as you face the storms that come your way." Will we pray together? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll say a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this week of Holiday Club at Majesty Castle. And we've come together this morning to worship you, to meet here with Jesus Christ, not simply because we feel we should do, or because it's expected of us, but because we want to be here praising you. So meet with us now, we pray. We've come not just to share fellowship with each other, not just to meet with our friends, but to meet with you. Help us as we worship you to reflect on you and not ourselves, to think about your love rather than our problems, and to seek your will for us rather than our expectations of you. Help us to draw close to you, rejoicing in your presence, receiving your love, reviving our faith. Help us to put aside everything that comes between us, the foolish deeds we do, the trivial concerns we have, the evil desires that sometimes come upon us. Loving God, there's so much in our lives that's not as it should be, nor as it could be, and not as it would be if only we walked more closely with you. So forgive us the unkind words and the thoughtless actions and the unworthy thoughts that deny the faith that we've been hearing about this week at Holiday Club. Forgive us the self-centered lifestyles, the half-hearted commitments, the careless discipleship that undermines our witness to you. Forgive us the lack of devotion, the lack of faith, the lack of love that demean your name. Loving God, as we gather together this morning, help us to know that as we worship you, that you forgive us and that you continue to guide us and love us, and that you offer us life in all its fullness through Jesus Christ. And so we pray in his name, the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen." Well, I thought this morning we could think some more about the story of Esther. And I want you to use your imaginations and imagine that you're watching Esther, not on the cartoon, but watching Esther in real life. Esther gazed absent-mindedly in her reflection in the pool by moonlight, and she shivered. It wasn't especially cold, even though it was winter time, and the king's court now stayed at Susa, the winter capital of the great Persian Empire. It wasn't a kind of outward cold that affected her, it was her nerves, her fear at what she was about to do, because there was little doubt why the king had chosen Esther after his queen had fallen out of favour. Vashti had left the court, and Esther had become queen because she was a very beautiful woman. And out of the king's harem, she had been chosen for now. But Esther knew that could change at the king's whim, because a woman, even a queen, was expendable. So much had happened. How had it come to this? Her people had lived there in Susa for so long, quite few remembered how long. But they'd not forgotten one important thing. They were different. They weren't like everyone else. They were Jews and they worshipped Yahweh, Israel's God. Their ancestors had been forcibly deported, taken from Israel by the Babylonians. And then that empire had been taken over by the Persians. But through it all, Esther's people had kept to the old faith and the old ways. Mordecai, her father, well, not actually her father, but the only father she'd known since her own parents had died. Mordecai had taught her the old stories, and she smiled as she remembered his telling and retelling these stories. Stories of how God had chosen Abraham to work with him to accomplish God's mysterious purposes. Stories of how Abraham's descendants had eventually formed a nation, Israel. Stories of how Israel had become corrupt and had not followed God's ways. Stories of how there had been God's judgment, invasion, and exile into Babylon. And then Babylon was overtaken by the Persians. But it was all so long ago, and at times it all seemed very unreal. And Esther had lived in pleasant obscurity until fairly recently, until just a few months before. And after Queen Vashti had been banished from the palace for disobeying the king, well, the king became very morose and down. And his advisor suggested that all the beautiful young virgins in the kingdom should be gathered into his harem, and after he'd spent a night with each one, he could make one of them the queen. It was the way of the world, like it or not. And that was how she, Esther, had ended up becoming queen. Queen, she thought? I can hardly believe it. Not that it means much. I come when the king calls and not otherwise. And I do what the king says and when he says it. And now this. Because Mordecai had brought it on himself with his stubborn pride. He refused to bow before the new chief minister, Haman. And Mordecai had never explained to her why. But he wouldn't bow. And when Mordecai decided on something, well, that was the end of it. Just like every other man, she thought. And it hadn't taken Esther long to notice that Haman, the new prime minister, was vain. And what she hadn't known until 3 days ago was just how vain, how vindictive. His vanity wounded by Mordecai, somehow Haman had persuaded the king to order the mass murder of all the Jewish people, completely contrary to the usual government practice of leaving conquered peoples alone so long as they remained loyal to the king. And there were rumours that the deal involved a large amount of money flowing into the king's treasury, but who knew for sure? There were always rumours at court. And what was sure was that a decree had gone out in the king's name ordering this massacre. And Mordecai had pleaded with Esther. He'd pleaded with her to intercede with the king. But Esther hadn't seen the king for over a month. She had not been called. And the only way for Esther to enter the throne room was unsummoned, but she knew very well that was forbidden, even to her as queen. And if she did enter the throne room, It meant death, execution, unless the king chose to extend his sceptre towards her. But the king's moods were very unpredictable. And yet she could see no other way if her plan was to have any chance of success. And so Esther stood up. She had decided there was no other way. And she walked quickly until she came to the curtained entranceway. And then she prayed quickly, "Lord God, God of my people, help me." And her knees shook a little. And she parted the curtains and walked into the throne room. Isn't that an amazing story? And sometimes it helps us just to imagine what it was like, to picture the scene in our emotions, in our imagination. And so with the story of Esther, this Queen Esther that is in the book of the Bible that bears her name, right along there, near the Psalms. But it's a book that's not without its problems, because the book doesn't talk about God at all. In the whole book, God's not mentioned. And yet God is very, very there in that story. There's also a bit of debate as to whether the story is supposed to be taken as a historical fact or some sort of tale told to make a very important point. Perhaps it's both. But it also presents us with many moral and ethical dilemmas. What are we to make of the fact that although Esther convinces the king to save her people, he doesn't countermand his first order, because once given, his decrees could not be changed, but instead, he allows the Jewish people to take up arms and engage in a very bloody self-defence, which even worse is so enjoyable that it's repeated by Esther's request the next day. Well, on the Sundays before Easter this year, during the season of Lent, up at St Leonard's Church, we were looking at some of the stories in the Bible which speak about God's people being in exile, just like Esther and her people were in exile, away from their own country, surrounded by a culture that was very different from the culture they wanted to live in. And this week at Majesty Castle Holiday Club, well, we've been hearing Bible stories. Who have we been hearing about, boys and girls? Shout out if you remember. Who have we been hearing about? Were we hearing about clowns? No. Were we hearing about airline pilots? No. Who were we hearing about? Do you know who we were hearing about? Kings and a queen, that's right. We were hearing about kings and a queen. And we were hearing, thinking about their situations and thinking about different pieces of spiritual armour that God gave his people to wear or to put upon themselves in difficult situations. And we were hearing about the armour that the Apostle Paul wrote about in one of his books, the book of Ephesians, down here in the New Testament. So we heard about King Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in that fiery furnace with one who looked like the Son of God. We heard about King David and the bad thing he did, taking Uriah's wife and killing Uriah, and how he was found out, and how the prophet Nathan confronted him, and David repented and wrote how sorry he was in one of his psalms. And then we heard about Jesus being the King of the Jews and Jesus being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we also enjoyed this story of Esther, who was a believer in exile. And Esther tells us that if we want to be God's people, then we have to work hard, because all of the culture around us is quite different to how God would want us to live. And somehow, though generations had passed, Esther understood that she was different. Perhaps it was Mordecai who taught her. It couldn't have been easy surrounded in a culture with very different priorities and beliefs. And can you imagine how it must have been for a young woman, now at the very centre of the royal court? How easy would it have been for her to forget slowly, bit by bit, the things that were important to her people? For you and I, boys and girls and grown-ups, we live in a culture, in a country that has very different priorities, very different beliefs than the things that we've been sharing this week at Majesty Castle. And it's easy slowly to forget, not to see the huge difference between the teachings of Jesus and what goes on in the society around us. And slowly we run the risk of merging the two almost without noticing it. But how often have we seen that happen? It's so easy. A few Sundays missed from gathering for worship, they turn into a few months and then a few years. Or instead of Sunday being a day for worship and rest, it becomes a day for shopping and business as usual. Or instead of having an attitude of compassion for the poor or the refugee, we find ourselves repeating the hard attitudes of a society that blames victims for their own troubles and leaves them lying by the roadside. And we consume far more than we need because everyone else does. And slowly, slowly we become part of the culture around us. And it isn't easy to maintain our identity surrounded by this culture that's so different to what the Bible teaches us God wants. It takes work. It takes a lot of hard work. And Esther, in her story, tells us that there's no permanent place of safety for people who are exiles. You might think that if anyone was safe in the Persian Empire, it would surely be the queen, as long as she continued to please the king. But Esther's position was, well, it was precarious at best, but even more so as a person of faith. And the moment came when Esther, as we saw in the cartoon, in the video, she had to make a choice, didn't she? She could risk everything to save her people, or she could say nothing and remain secure for the moment. I don't think many of us will ever have to face the kind of choice that Esther faced. But there will be moments when we have to risk our safety. When the conversation in the lunchroom takes that turn, and we take a big gulp because now there's the perfect opportunity to finally say something about how much we love Jesus. But do I say that I'm a Christian? Everyone will think I'm a nut. Do I step out of my safe place and risk it or not? Well, the boss, when he asked me to do something underhanded, when do I or do I not do it? Do I step out of my safe place or not? You see, for those of us who are exiles surrounded by a culture that's alien to what God wants, there is no permanently safe place, other, of course, than the safety of living within God's will. And David the Psalmist writes about that in Psalm 4, about being in God's will. Well, the story of Esther tells us we need courage and we need wisdom to live in exile. Esther found herself in that very difficult situation, and from our point of view, it may be easy to criticise her choices, but we live too in a complicated world, we have complicated lives, and it's not always clear what choice is right or which opinion is the right one, the ethical one. And we move within shades of grey and ambiguity, and we need wisdom, but we also need, as Esther needed, courage. It takes enormous courage to stand alone or even as part of a small minority. And living in exile, as Esther did, isn't for cowards or the faint-hearted. But fortunately, this week at Manchester Castle, we've been learning about where to go, or better worded, whom to go to for both wisdom and courage. And that is Jesus, God's Son, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Because centuries after the story of Esther, God came among us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was approached by a man who claimed he would follow Jesus wherever he went. And Jesus responded to that man saying, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And the immediate meaning was clear enough. The saying didn't so much mean that Jesus didn't have a home base, because he did. He stayed with Peter in Capernaum and made that his home base. But basically, Jesus was out on the road. He was an itinerant preacher of God's word. And Peter later wrote, "We are to live in reverent fear during this time of exile." Exile isn't an easy place to live. It gives us great challenges. There's no permanent safe place when you're in exile. And we need, like Esther, courage and wisdom to understand and discern complex problems. And we need to work to retain our identity. But that's what we're called to when we hear God calling to us, and when we start loving Jesus, we're called to that lifestyle. And as Horatius Bonner, one of the old hymn writers, wrote, "Go, labour on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went, should not the servant tread it still." Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this year's Holiday Club. We thank you for all the fun, for the games, the crafts, the activities, for the stories, for the songs, for everything that we've enjoyed here in Majesty Castle. And we know that you have called us to be your witnesses, to tell the news that we've been hearing and sharing, and to make known what you've done for us in Jesus. You don't simply call others, exempting us from responsibility, giving us the option of leaving it to someone else. No, you call us all, everyone without exception, to go forth and tell the good news. We've heard, we've received this good news. Save us from keeping it for ourselves. Forgive us for the times when we do just that, the times when we've missed the opportunity to speak out. Forgive us that we're not as excited as we should be by the news we have to share, that we've become too familiar sometimes with the Bible stories, too comfortable, too complacent, concerned only with ourselves rather than others. Forgive us for all those who have never heard because we've never told them. And help us to recognise all that we have to share, to make us ready to be like Esther, to stand with courage and seize those moments which cry out to us to share the news. Thrill our hearts again when the good news of Jesus is told. May its message stir our hearts. May it capture our imaginations. May it break through our apathy and our carelessness and our indifference. Loving God, we've heard, we've received the good news this week. So save us from keeping it to ourselves and help us to share it with all who need to hear it. In Jesus' name, Amen. I think we had a song that we're going to sing now. And it's a song about, though I feel afraid of territory unknown, I know that I can say that I do not stand alone. Who stands with us? Jesus stands with us. For Jesus has promised his presence in my heart. I cannot see the ending, but it's here that I must start.